Prologue. San Francisco, July 1933. In the bustling city by the bay, it was hard to tell that the rest of the country was in the midst of one of the worst years of its young history. Instead of dust bowls and depression, San Francisco was booming. Steamships dotted the harbor, while up on the hill, cranes lifted beams high into the skyline. Amid all of it, a fairground had been set up, its bright lights warm and welcoming against the dimming sky. Families wandered the fair, children in tow, while young men attempted to impress their girlfriends with cotton candy and big stuffed animals. Amid it all, a carousel circled slowly, giving its passengers time to take in the San Francisco skyline and the tiny people below. A young boy with a toy six-shooter strapped to his hip strode through the fair, a bemused look on his face. His name was Will, and he had seen it all before. The games, the shows, the silly carousel that was far too slow for the likes of him. There was only one thing that interested him about the fairground, the Wild West Show. It was supposed to be the greatest show on earth, but Will wanted to see for himself. Reaching up, he adjusted the mask he wore over his eyes and ducked inside the tent. As his eyes adjusted to the gloom, Will made out several dioramas depicting scenes from the Wild West. There was a stuffed bison next to a big stuffed bear, both of their coats missing fur in spots. Nearby, a covered wagon was frozen in motion, its white canopy aged and yellowed. Walking along, Will sighed. Everything looked old and fake. He wanted to see something exciting, something real. He came to a stop in front of one of the dioramas. The sign above read, "The Noble Savage in His Natural Habitat." Inside sat a lifeless Comanche Indian, his ancient face covered in white and black paint. On his head perched a stuffed crow with faded black feathers. As the rest of the crowd moved along to the next diorama, Will stayed back, absently eating from his bag of peanuts. He had never seen a real Comanche Indian. Even though he knew it was just a statue, he couldn't help leaning in closer. Suddenly, the Comanche Indian's eyes flickered. With a gasp, Will dropped his bag of peanuts and took a step back. Reaching down, he pulled out his toy gun and fired. The harmless cap sounded loud, but the sound of Will's pounding heart was even louder. "Kimo sabe?" the old Comanche Indian said, his voice scratchy. He leaned forward, narrowing his ancient, watery eyes. "You bring horses?"
"I think you made a mistake, mister," Will said hesitantly. A sadness seemed to settle over the old man as he looked down at Will. The intense gaze made Will nervous, and he took a step back, stepping on a peanut shell. The crack startled him anew, and his heart began to race again. Looking at the bag of peanuts that had fallen to the floor, the Comanche raised an eyebrow. "Make trade?" he asked. Will glanced down at the peanuts and then back at the Comanche. With a shrug, he retrieved the snack and tentatively handed it over. The elderly man took the bag from Will's palm, replacing it with the corpse of a mummified mouse. Will recoiled in disgust. Then, gulping, he nodded his thanks. As the Comanche munched on a peanut, Will lowered his mask to try to get a closer look. He knew that he wasn't imagining it. The Comanche Indian was most definitely alive, but how? And why had he chosen to speak to him of all people?
"Never take off the mask," the man said, breaking into Will's thoughts.
"Why not?" Will asked.
The old Comanche closed his eyes as a long-forgotten memory surfaced. He began to speak so softly, Will had to strain to hear his story. On a hilltop, hidden among the trees, the Comanche Indian, now clearly much younger, sat astride his horse, gazing into the horizon, the same stuffed crow perched on his head. Next to him, on a horse of his own, sat a man who wore a white hat and a black mask. As they sat there, the man adjusted his mask, clearly uncomfortable.
"You sure about this?" he asked.
The Comanche looked at him, then returned his gaze to the horizon before speaking. "Dead men strike fear into the heart."